Let's take our Bibles and look together in Acts chapter 14. And my text today is taken from verse 15 down to verse 28. And I want to speak with you about the work of the gospel. That's the title, the work of the gospel. I know that may sound like a contradiction, in that we know that salvation is by the grace of God, but at the same time, it is described as a labor, just like a farmer goes out and labors and works the field. The work of the gospel is described as a work. It's not man's work, it's God's work. There are those that reason that if salvation is of the Lord and that he does the saving from beginning to end, then there's nothing for us to do. We should just sit and God's going to do his work regardless. In fact, you remember in Acts chapter 13, in verse 2, when the Spirit of the Lord indicated to the church in Antioch to set apart Barnabas and Saul, Acts 13, verse 2, the language there is, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them, the work.
We
know that we live and move and have our being in God, and that even the food on our table is by his provision. But none of us sits around the house every day and says, well, if God's going to feed us, he's going to feed us. No, he directs us to get up and go to work. And through that labor, provides for his own.
I
get up pretty early every morning, but I've yet to be able to get up before the birds. Every time I get up and walk outside, I hear the birds already up, already chirping, already flying, already looking for food. And who provides their food? It's the Lord.
zimakumbukira tsukumeni lonse ndimawulira mmamawa umene ndisadzuke zimakhaulipala zaniposa zadzuka kale zikuwuluka zikulira kuyang'ana chakudya koma funso lakuti amazipatsa zakudya mbalamezo nindani mukaona kuti ndi mulungu amene amazitsogolera mbalamezo kuti zikakumalefanika chakudya kuti zikadya zikhute.
That's very important that we stick with scripture terms. There is a word that's used today called missionary work. They say, well, we need to send out missionaries. If you take a concordance and look up that word, it's not mentioned one time in the Bible, the word missionary or mission work. That's not a scriptural term. The term missionary actually originated back in 1598 when the Jesuits sent out some of their members to go into foreign lands to establish missions. But that's not the gospel.
Maruati umishonanale umishon. Adambika mujava janitinita 1598. Pamene kada rigurina rotsokozana ni jazwe. Amene ada atuma anthu kuti apite akakhazikitse utumiki. Pamene popopone vadambitsido kuti zikhalo mission.
Terms that we find in scripture are like the one I just read from Acts 13. Separated unto the work whereunto the Lord has called his own. The work.
Umadu zeni zeni disimeneta nasiona mushabra tini chate alpeti dimaga shuriyo imena mali mundi patuli le ime unshito benedita wadmiya. Dari munhu wadambedza nchito nikutodzipatulira yekha anthu kuti apite kunchito imeneyoyo.
It's called work because it's a labor. The Lord said that the field is the world and that he's the Lord of the harvest. And he said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his field. It's work. Just like a farmer, he doesn't go out in the morning and then come back at night and say, okay, work's done, field sown, harvest is brought in. No. There are seasons. You go out and turn up the soil and you sow the seed and you weed the garden. There's a watering. It's a labor.
There's
danger involved because men oppose the gospel. There's isolation over the message of Christ. There's labor. There are tears that are sown. There is the weight of dealing with lost sinners. All of this is part of the labor.
Ndiyo chifukwa chakusanda tsetsa bwino zimaonekanga kuti uli ndi ntchito yokumutsa wanthu mulomo ungogwira ntchito imene mulungu akuifunira chifukwa adapanga kale munthu adapenga kale anthu
But I will tell you, as any will tell you, that the Lord is so directed to labor in the word, in the work, it is a joyous labor. It is a labor of love. It's one beggar, such as myself, telling other beggars where to find the bread, because that's how the Lord has satisfied my soul. So there's the work of the gospel, but another word that you find in scripture we could say is the ministry of the gospel. That is a word actually that is used much more than any other in scripture. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, the apostle says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. In the original, that word ministry is the word from which we get deacon. There were in the early church leaders established who were elders and deacons. The deacon, those who are deacons in the true biblical sense, are those who preach the gospel. Now we have to be careful and distinguish ourselves from religious terminology, because today people like to speak of being a pastor or a bishop or an elder, and even as a title, a deacon. And they divide up the organization, religious organization, by these titles. None of those was ever intended to be a title. In scripture, those are not titles, those are functions. So, for example, if I say to somebody and they ask me, they say, well, are you the pastor? Well, I have to say yes, but probably not in the way they think. They think of an authority figure. A pastor, the word in scripture means an under shepherd. Think of the person that is out there watching the flock, sitting under the shade tree with a staff in his hand. He doesn't own the sheep. He's watching the sheep. He's a sheep watcher. He makes sure the sheep are fed. That's a pastor. The same applies to the word bishop. A bishop is an overseer. It's not a title. It's a superintendent. It's somebody that has been given the charge to oversee the Lord's church, the Lord's congregation. It's not a title, it's a function. Same with the word preacher. What is a preacher who doesn't preach? Or minister, minister of the word, like we have here, where Paul says we have this ministry. It's speaking of a function as a servant who serves the Lord through the preaching of the gospel. That's who the minister is. So here we have, coming back to my text in Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas sent forth for the work of the ministry. And what does that entail? That means preaching the gospel. That's what the work of the gospel is. It's the proclamation of Christ and Him crucified. And as we saw last time in verses 8 through 14, in this town called Lystra, there was a man who was lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Now, Paul and Barnabas weren't going around preaching miracles, but as they preached the gospel, the Lord confirmed their message by the miracles that accompanied them. And that is because they didn't have the complete word yet, as we do today. It was still being written. So God confirmed their message concerning Christ as the Messiah with these miracles.
Kuti akatsimikize kuti uthenga wabwino umene akulalikira na Paulo ndi Paranaba no tenga wabuyo, weni weni. Neti la yuka tisimi kisa utenga wabuyo. Pamele pano, siku shaka sozona wita, chifuwa mkula hospeli damani zika, jindi mau, ugwana wino.
Now we know, because men are depraved and they are blind in their sin, that whenever they see these things, the mighty works of God, they're going to idolize. They're going to make an idol out of the work or out of the men doing it. Just like in verse 11, when the people saw what Paul had done, they lift up their voices saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. What natural-minded men will do, they will take something that is to God's glory alone, and they will try to give man the credit for what's been done. They'll glorify man rather than glorify God. In fact, as we saw last time in verse 13, they were ready even to offer sacrifice with the people unto Paul and Barnabas, as if they were gods. You can see Paul and Barnabas' reaction in verse 14 that we considered last time. They rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out. Oh, what a response to any that would endeavor or attempt to give any man glory, where the glory belongs unto God alone. Now, as I prepared this message, and the Lord directed me, in this portion here in Acts 14, verse 15 to 28, we have 10 different qualities that distinguish a true gospel work from man's work. 10. Now, if you want to write these down as I go through, we won't be able to spend a lot of time on each one, but the word is here for us later to go back and see these things. But here's 10 qualities of a true gospel work.
Number one, pane zvinhu zvokwana 10 zvimene zvinosiyanisa kuti ntsvo yamurungu ndi ntchito ya anthu.
The first we find in verse 15 that the work of the gospel is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and not ourselves. That's how you can tell a true gospel work or minister. They exalt the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Notice verse 15, saying, here they are crying in opposition to what these would do, saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God. That's Christ, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein.
Wakuti musiye zvinhu zvachabe izi nimutapenukire kwa Mulungu wamoyo kutoka kwa Yesu Kristu. Amene anaenda zvakumamba ndizapansi ndinyanja ndizvose zviri momwemo.
When was the last time that you heard a preacher say to the hearers, we also are men of like passions with you, verse 15? That we have the same nature as you do, idolaters, sinners, adulterers, covetous. When people ask me about the ministry, I can't tell them anything other than I'm a sinner saved by grace in whom the Lord has put his spirit to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and his death alone, period. We don't put titles behind our names as if we're somebody. We have but one person and work to exalt, and it's not our own. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where we were just a little while ago, if you look in verse 5, this was the sum of Paul's ministry. He says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. That's who we are. The work of the gospel is to exalt Christ and not ourselves.
Koma Kristu Yesu ambuye. Njini ifetoka akapolo anu chipoja Kristu. Kona kuni amenane kwa kwanja uremu dima na mando Yesu Kristu yeka mtu ayi.
The Christ that we exalt, coming back here to our text in Acts 14 and verse 15, is not some little Jesus that is in men's hands to do with what they will. Notice how Paul declared it here when he said to turn to the living God. That's who he is. In him is life, and he made heaven, earth, the sea, and all things that are therein. There's nothing that we receive but what comes from his hand. So to him be the glory alone. So that brings me to the second point here of what is the work of the gospel. We see it in verse 16, that the work of the gospel in Acts 14, 16 is to call sinners to the Christ who is Lord over all. Now, when you first read verse 16, you might not see this point, but it says, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. It's saying that down through the history of the nations, there were many that God in his sovereignty just left to themselves. And when he did, they just walked in their own ways. That's what any one of us would do. Left to ourselves. We would never come to Christ. We would continue to walk in our own way. Anybody that does not preach the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ over all, to give salvation to whom he will, or to condemn whom he will, is not a gospel preacher. They do not the work of the gospel. Don't give them that credit. We hear people today talking about letting God do this or letting God do that. No, it's God letting us. That's what that word suffereth means. When it says who in times past suffered, he let all nations walk in their own ways. In other words, passed by, he let them to their own will. I hear people say that all the time. Well, why didn't God just let us do what we want to do? He does. There's a whole world full of people in condemnation and headstrong to hell because God has let them go.
Kuti kuchitike ndikule
But then you read in verse 17, nevertheless. See, that's the grace of God. He could have let us all go our own way. You look around you there in Malawi. Why you? Why are you sitting right now rejoicing in this gospel message? It's because God did not leave himself without a witness. He's passed by a bunch of them. He's let them go their own way. Nevertheless, that's what I love. He left not himself without witness.
Then I go to Lendimana 17. I didn't come aside the Sira. But I don't know what I'm the Kermu Azarola, Kwaleka Anju, I stick him in Akuna, I never put him up Waja, Kwama Kurumbuya Wini, Adjantisun Gayeka, and what Pamela of Pamela and Joseph Kuba or Kumba Tawa. As I was from Aena, Kura Kremboni, Yakuari of Sedawi, not another 17, where I put him. Goma, but the Sira, Ia Mini, Roman Domoni. What does that make you a domino?
Now, we know that by his grace, he did not leave himself without a witness. In time, by his spirit, he caused us to hear the gospel and drew our hearts to this same Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory alone. What's cited here in verse 17 is a reminder that even among those nations that he has suffered to walk in their own ways, he has never stopped being good to them, in that he did good, and notice, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. See, God's not like man, where if someone's his enemy, then all right, I'm just going to cut him off. That's how we would do. We wouldn't feed him. We wouldn't nourish him. We wouldn't take... God is good, and he causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, whether they believe him or not. And all that does is add to their condemnation. There's none in the end that can raise their fist in his face and say, well, you were a mean God. So that's the third quality of a true gospel work there in verse 17. The work of the gospel is to declare the mercy of God for undeserving sinners. He's merciful to all his creatures. Anything this side of hell is mercy.
Deno makarime achitago amene tikuwaona apa ali mumutwaka wa 17 kuti Mulungu amapereka chifundo kwa anthu amene mbosenera sokala chifundo ndiye ndikanena kuti anthu osenera kuenda chifundo akalenda chifundo
Now here's where we dare not confuse grace and mercy. Anywhere where you see the word grace in Scripture, it is for those that God has purposed to save and has saved through the work of His Son. But He's merciful unto all. In other words, causing the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, causing the sun to rise on just and unjust. He makes no distinction in His mercy. The fact that He does not cast sinners into hell immediately upon sinning and falling is a mercy. You see, this is the answer when people ask us, they say, well, if God has chosen those that He's going to save, and you're preaching to a mixed crowd, what do you preach to those that He hasn't chosen? Well, we preach the mercy of God, the fact that they're still there, that they're breathing God's air, that they're eating the food that God provides for him, and yet still in rebellion, not bowing to this God who is good. That's a mercy. Now let's look at verse 18, because here is a fourth quality in verse 18 of a true gospel work. And I would say this, the work of the gospel is to point sinners to the one true sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one. You see, the whole point of Paul and Barnabas tearing their clothes and saying what they're saying is described here in verse 18. With these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, notice, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. They were ready to grab some animals and kill them. But the one sacrifice of acceptance before God had already been offered. That was in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any other sacrifice is blasphemous. And so you can see with what restraint, with what urgency, they pointed these to Christ.
Amen. Jesus Christ.
This is why the work of the gospel is called work. It's labor. Because the ground is hardened by depravity and sin, the men's hearts. They would rather sacrifice to men than they would bow to the only sacrifice of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. They would rather offer praise to the works of their own hands or to their own will than to bow to the one will of God and the work of God through the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. But that's the work of the gospel. It's to point, continue to point sinners to the one sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's a fifth quality of the work of the gospel, and we see that here in verse 19, that the work of the gospel brings opposition from natural-minded religionists. There's going to be opposition. That's how you can tell it's a work of the gospel, is because it divides. Says there came thither, verse 19, certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. So they're following Paul and Barnabas wherever they go, like wild dogs, who persuaded the people and, notice, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. You see, this is the distinctive mark of the work of the gospel, in that it stirs up in men, natural-minded men, hatred for God and for Christ. I ask you, have you ever preached the gospel clear enough and plain enough to where men hate you because of the gospel you preach? I'll tell you, there was a time where I was liked. I was an upcoming preacher. I'd been through school. I'd gotten my degrees. I was out doing what was then called missionary work. And the whole purpose was to get some experience and then come back to the United States and begin teaching in a institution of higher learning to be a professor. When all of that, the Lord slayed in an instant. teaching me of Christ. And after that, I realized what hatred is, not only from people outside, but from those even of your own particular family. That in hearing you exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and give him the glory alone, they would rather you be dead than to continue to disturb their minds and consciences with this message. Now, I want to make this important point, and that is, we are not to preach the gospel in an offensive way. In other words, we ourselves are offensive by how we preach it. That's not preaching the gospel or doing the gospel work. I have some acquaintances that consider themselves gospel preachers, but every time that a visitor comes in and sits down, they feel like they have to completely change their message, and they go to bashing religion and idolatry and free will, and they're just preaching against, to where the person runs off, and then they say, ah, see, they couldn't tolerate the gospel. That's not the gospel. We would do well to follow the example here of Paul and Barnabas, where they rent their clothes and they cried out, but they weren't bashing these. They were pleading with them. They were persuading them. They were talking to them that there is no other sacrifice but Christ. And for that, these Jewish legalizers that continued to hound them and follow them from place to place, they're the ones that began to, as it says there in verse 19, persuade the people otherwise, and in the end, stone Paul. But here's a sixth quality of the work of the gospel that we see here in verse 20. I love that word, howbeit. They had stoned Paul and thought him to be dead. They left him for dead. Howbeit, As the disciples stood round about him, verse 20, he rose up. You can't stop God from doing his work. And came into the city. He went right back into the city. He didn't flee. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe.
Paulo, Ápera. Ngino pamene ndibaka 20 kuti koma pamene ana mzinga akufunzirawo anauka iye nalowa muti sadatawa yai alipira muti mwana mgendamo anafunzano alalowa muti mama wamache anatuka ndi Barnaba kuka kuderebe chazino muti walalika utenga kuti wakakala kumarengo kututsa usandatawa yai pina kukumeko wakakala kututsa.
So that's the sixth quality, that the work of the gospel is going to advance as God has purposed in spite of men's oppositions. It's like a train. You can't stop it. I know that's true of the work there in Africa. I know it's true of the work here in Shreveport. I know it's true wherever the gospel, the Lord is causing this word to go forth. Satan may oppose it, men may oppose it, man's depravity may oppose it, but Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, number seven, seventh quality of the gospel work we see in verses 21 and 22 of our text. Look at verse 21. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, the very place that they'd been chased out of, left for dead, to Iconium and Antioch, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Nothing deterred them. So here's the seventh quality, and that is that the work of the gospel is not only for the converting of sinners, but confirming them in the grace of God. In other words, those that God saves, he keeps. See, the reality is that even though Paul and Barnabas, the preachers, were chased from city to city, when they went back again, they found those that the Lord had graciously taught, still there, in spite of the opposition and persecution, the Lord keeping them, and therefore they confirmed those souls, and not through classes or baptismal teaching or catechism, no, confirmed the souls of the disciples, and notice, exhorted them to continue in the faith. Where does faith originate? It's from God. So continue. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. We don't have to organize God's work. He does it himself. Number eight, the eighth quality we see here in verse 23, and that is that the work of the gospel is in the raising up of congregations under the leadership of men that God has appointed for the well-being of those congregations. You see, it's his work, but he brings sinners together. That's what the word congregate means. Under the leadership, he always provides for their well-being of men that he has raised up. Now, here's a good example of the difference between elders and deacons. Again, it's not a title, it's a function. Who are the deacons here? The deacons, the ministers, were Paul and Barnabas. Who are the elders? They're the ones that the Lord raised up, verse 23, when they had ordained them elders in every church. Again, it's not under one head, one man, elders. The Lord always raises up men to care for his sheep and had prayed with fasting. Why'd they pray with fasting? Because this is a solemn thing to be having the oversight of the Lord's sheep. But what? They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. It's the Lord's work from beginning to end. All right, two more qualities. The ninth one we find here in verses 24 and 25, and that is that the work of the gospel is in following the Lord's direction as to where, when, and how it should be preached. We don't organize this. It's the work of the gospel is following the Lord's direction as to where, when, and how he purposes that it be preached. You see, in religion, we were taught that you can't let one soul go by, otherwise their blood is on your head. Can you imagine if every person you walk by, you had to stop and preach the gospel to them? There would be no end, but that's not how God has purposed. Here it says in verse 24, after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. When it says pass throughout, it doesn't mention them preaching to anybody there. They went right through there by the Lord's direction and never stopped to preach once. And notice verse 25, when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Italia. What is it that is directing them but the Spirit of God as to where he would have the gospel to be preached? You think about where the Lord has raised up congregations there in Malawi, or even across the border into Mozambique, where there's a couple of preachers there, or up in Tanzania, wherever the Lord, you've heard of some that the Lord has given this interest. But Brother James, when you hop in your car, you drive by an awful lot of marketplaces. You go through an awful lot of villages. You never stop because that's not how the Lord's directing. You go there where he has his sheep. See, that's the work of the gospel. We're on the trail of God's sheep and will not be distracted by any other thing. And you don't feel guilty about passing by all these people and places because that's not how the Lord is directed. The truth is that it's the Lord who directs where, when, and how, and to whom this gospel will be preached. The final quality, number 10, we find in verses 26 through 28, and I want to pick up with this next time, but it's simply this, that the work of the gospel is always successful. Where God ordains his work to be done, it is always a successful work. There's no trial and error. You see, it says in verse 26, and thence sailed to Antioch. They're going back full circle where they had sent, from whence they had been recommended. Notice how it's put, to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, the called out ones, they rehearsed all what? Not that they had done, all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. So the going and coming is by God's determination, but the work is always fulfilled. I love that term. Sometimes we may wonder whether the Lord is at work or not, but we need not wonder. Everything is exactly the way it's supposed to be. In every place where the Lord is at work, his work is successful. Every month we get a report from Sermon Audio, and it shows exactly where across the world people are downloading our gospel messages. And every time I get that report, it's not to bring glory to myself or my preaching, but glory to God. And I always look for new countries and new places where it may have pleased God to cause his gospel to go forth, and I could never direct it that way. And this month, I just send it around to everybody. You'll see it. But for whatever reason, God purposed that there be over 2,300 downloads of messages in Japan. Japan. I don't even speak Japanese. But the Lord directed that somehow those messages be downloaded, and he must have some sheep there. That's all I know.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. But if you have a minimum of a good and show yake,
Well, I'm going to stop there for now. I pray the Lord bless his word, and I trust that it's an encouragement to any of us that the Lord has caused to be his servant and to labor in his field to his glory alone. And I'm thankful that we can find encouragement in who he is and what he's accomplished for sinners such as we are in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.